this morning. You should have been on fire, because God is.
Welcome to the Work in the Word broadcast of the St. Paul Baptist Church and the L.A. Delaney Jr. Ministries in Gonzales, Louisiana, where LaThought Delaney Jr. is pastor. We stand firm on Romans 1 and 16. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone that believes. We know the word works, so we study, believe, and apply it to our lives on a daily basis. So come out and join us as we enter into a wonderful worship experience where lives are changed, God is glorified, His Son is exalted, and His precious Holy Spirit is recognized.
Why don't you come to St. Paul? Yeah, your life won't be the same.
St. Paul.
Once you give into that name,
St. Paul.
God's sitting right here waiting just for you.
St. Paul.
So what are you gonna do?
Teaching, amen. The book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15 for our starting out point. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 14 and 15 for our launching off point on today. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't there yet, say wait. I'll wait. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Good to see Sister Marie here today. Hey. Amen. Verse 14 and 15. Y'all ready? This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." You may be seated. We're going to stop right there. We're going to cover a lot of ground. Y'all don't mind turning your Bibles, huh? Y'all don't mind working the word. We're going to work it for just a little while. We want to talk about the mature prayer of a growing church. The mature prayer of a growing church. Amen. The mature prayer of a growing church. We understand that this Bible teaching is based out of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians was written by Paul. And it is centered around Paul and his servant Timothy. And they're giving instructions to the church. We find that in this teaching, we see that Paul is praying passionately that his readers comprehend the love of God. That his readers comprehend the love of God. That they next experience the love of Christ. Now you need to understand that that is two different things. First, it says that he wants us to comprehend, know, and understand the love of God. But then we say that he wants us to experience the love of Christ. God loved us so much that he gave us his Son. But Christ loved us so much that he gave us his life. And we experience God and Christ by the Holy Spirit, what God gives us on a consistent basis. And also we see that he was praying not only that we comprehend the love of God, but also he said that we would experience the love of Christ. But watch this. He says that we should be filled with God. Now, Pastor, how can I be filled with God? I have to be filled with his Spirit. Come on and say amen. I have to be filled with his Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the very representation of God on earth. Jesus, when he went back, he says, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He says, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit, who will be the very presence of God on earth. People say they have never seen God before, but you feel him every day through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do I have anybody in here that says, when I wake up in the morning, I feel God? A matter of fact, when I look in the mirror, I see God, because we were made in the very image of God. We were created in his likeness, but we are connected to him and attached to him by the Spirit of the living God. Catch that. The Spirit of the living God. That's why when we come into his house, we should give him a live praise, because God still lives in our life, and we know he is here because we feel him through the Spirit. Amen. But you need to understand that Paul loved the church of Ephesus so much that he was diligent in praying for those people. And see, I don't know about you, but a good church is a praying church. A great church is a praying church. An effective church is a praying church. If you don't have prayers in the church, you just got a lot of people coming to have a meeting. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of going to meetings. I want to have an experience with God. And the only way I can have an experience with God in the church is if church folks pray before they come to church. Can I ask you a question in this teaching today? How many people prayed before you came here? How many people prayed and asked for God to show up before you got here? How many people said, Lord, let me have a good worship experience before I got here? I don't know about you, but when I was driving down the road, I was saying, God bless St. Paul. When I was driving down the road, I was saying, fill it with your presence and your power, because if ain't no presence, ain't no power. I'm trying to do this in a teaching manner, but there is no power if the presence is not here. But you can't get the presence or the power here if the people do not pray. If the church is going to be impactful, if the church is going to be resourceful, and if the church is going to be purposeful, the church has to be a praying church. You might not see me every day, but you ought to know I'm praying for you. You might not be able to touch me every minute, but you ought to trust that the pastor of the flock is constantly praying for you. If we're going to grow greatly, and if we're going to be a great church while we're growing, we have to have a foundation in prayer. Amen. Amen. So we need to understand that Paul was telling them, he was expressing to him that he was so passionate about their relationship with Jesus Christ that he had a fervent prayer for them. Fervent. Fervent means that I have a consistent, constant relationship for you. Fervent means that I am dedicated to calling out your names before God. See, I don't know about you, but if you're going to be my friend, if you're going to be my pal, if you're going to be my confidant, I have to trust and know first and foremost that you are taking out time to pray with me. Not running with me to the club. Not going on shopping sprees. But first and foremost, you have my best interest at heart, and you are committed and dedicated to having a prayer life. I'm not knocking a social life, because we all need to be able to enjoy ourselves, relax ourselves, and have a good time every now and again. A tense person is a stressed person. And everybody needs a way to de-stress. But first, before you go into partying and having a good time, you ought to have a consistent, constant prayer life. I'm not saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost and such a holy roller that I believe that we should not have a period to enjoy ourselves. You can enjoy yourself, but do it in a decent way. But in all, the only way to control whether you're going to enjoy yourself in a decent way is to pray. Amen. Amen. So we see today that Paul is saying that he has a desire for the people to be to comprehend the love of God, to experience the love of God, but also he says to be filled by the love of God. But watch, when we move down, as we go through these next couple of days of this teaching, we'll see that he has a belief that they all can live a better life. And that's concluded about that 20th verse. He has a belief that his desire is for God to be able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But I need to tell you today, jot this down. If we're going to be a mature and growing church, we have to be a church that is full of passion. We have to be a church that is full of passion. You have to be sold out for Christ. You have to be committed and dedicated to the cause all the time. That's why Paul was so dedicated to the body. He said that I bow down on my knees and I pray. You need to understand that if we're going to be a growing church, we have to be a praying church. But if we are going to be a praying church, we have to be a church that is willing to be led by the Spirit of God. You say amen. Now, I understand a lot of people want me to get all worked up and get all sweaty and pass out, but that ain't going to happen. We have to understand the word of God. And if I can't talk to you and teach you in a relatable manner, then all we're doing is having an emotional roller coaster. We're going up and down with no substance. God wants us to have substance in our lives. So we need to understand that if we're going to pray, we need to be led by the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit knows. The Spirit has already went and surveyed the scene. The Spirit has already went and taken care of the reconnaissance. He's already went out and seen what's going to happen with you next week. The Spirit has already seen what's going to happen with you next week, next month. The Spirit knows every stumbling block. He knows every obstacle that's going to be put in your way. The Spirit knows your highs, your lows. He knows when the devil is going to tempt you, trick you, try you. So if you're going to get an insight into your future, you need to tap into the Spirit. Amen. If you're going to get an insight to your future, you need to tap into the Spirit. If you have no Spirit, you have no insight. If you have no Spirit, you have no wisdom. If you have no Spirit, you have no understanding. I'm not talking about falling on your face, Spirit. I'm not talking about Holy Ghost passing out, Spirit. I'm talking about a connection with the Savior. I'm talking about an intimate relationship with Jesus to where you know him and he knows you. You know how he moves and he knows how you move. I'm talking about having such an in-tune relationship to where you don't even have to think and he blesses you. You don't even have to move and he already sends what you need, because we know that the Lord shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and his glory. If your spirit already knows he's rich, if your spirit already knows he's blessed, all you have to do is connect your spirit to his spirit, and his will is that we all prosper and have a good life, right? But in order for us to have a good life, in order for us to prosper, we have to first have a foundation. Somebody say foundation. Your foundation keeps you stable. Am I talking to somebody today? Your foundation keeps you on the right level. Your foundation keeps you rooted and grounded. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a foundation in emotions. Because if I got a foundation in emotions, when I'm happy, I'm good. But when I'm sad, I'm messed up. Yeah, I don't want to have a foundation that is rooted in the way people feel about me. Because when they like me, I'm good. But when they don't like me, I'm all messed up. I don't want to have a foundation that is related in trust. Because when you know people trust, you trust people and they got your back, you're good. But when you find that they have there's distrust and unloyalty in them, you are all messed up. But I need to tell you that your foundation should be rooted in prayer. Yeah. and the word of God. Because the word of God is the only thing that's going to stand the test of time. I think the scripture says it this way: the grass withereth and the flowers fade away, but the word of God will stand the test of time. So that means when schemes don't work, the word will still work. That means with don't worry, be happy has run its course, the word will still work. That means that when money coming to me don't work, the silver and the gold is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills still will work. So Paul is saying today that he wants us to be rooted and grounded in the word of God, but also he desires for us to be committed to having a strong prayer life. To having a strong prayer life, and having that strong prayer life, you have to believe that who you're praying to. Back up. In order to pray and have confidence, you have to believe that who you're praying to will work it out for you. See, I don't pray to God because I think he might be able to help me. I pray to God because I know that he is going to be able to help me. I don't cry out to God and ask God to heal me because I believe that he might be able to heal me. I talk to God, I cry out to God and pray to God because I know that he will be able to heal me. The scripture says it this way: and we know that all things work together for our good. It don't say bad, it don't say possibly, it says that it'll work together for our good if we love him. And in order to love him, you got to know him. Am I talking pretty good today? In order to love him, you got to know him, and you got to know that you're called for his purpose. And I believe that his purpose is for all of us to have a good life. Maybe you want to struggle for the rest of your life, but I believe the Lord intended for me to live well. Yeah, and sometimes you got to speak a declaration to yourself. I believe that I'm going to always be healthy, happy, and whole. Even when I got aches and pains in my body, I'm not acknowledging them. I'm speaking favor over my life because I know that God, the word says it this way, ask and it, do you understand that word? It says ask and it shall be given. Seek and you knock in the doors. Do you understand what shall means? Shall means that it's a guarantee that it's got to happen in your life. But you have to have a connection to God that when you talk to him. Can I teach you something? Can I teach you something? In order for God to be able to constantly communicate with you, you have to have a vessel that is ready for him to enter. I'm just doing my introduction today. Yeah, you have to have a vessel that is ready for him to enter. That means that I have to practice sinning less. Ouch. I have to practice doing more good than I do bad. That I have to have a consistent, concerted effort that I'm going to do more right than wrong. In order for God to be able to answer your prayers, you have to be right for him to answer. Amen. Amen. So we understand that Paul is saying in his prayer that he has a desire. His desire is for the believers to mature. Amen. We say it all the time. We babes in Christ can't eat no meat. Well, every now and again, I ought to be able to feed you so that you can move from milk to meat. So that I need to be able to hit you on whatever level you on. If you eating steak, I ought to be able to give you steak. But if you're not there yet, I ought to be able to give you a Similac word. And then give you an Enfamil word. And then give you a Gerber word. And then give you a Gerber bite word so that once you get ready to get the red beans and rice, your stomach is able to digest the word. But first of all, you got to understand, in order for your body to be ready to receive the word that God has for you, you have to have a strong prayer life. Reverend Bailey, I know I'm talking about it. You got to have a strong prayer life because you have to ask the Lord in your prayer, Lord, make me ready for the word. See, a lot of times we come to church and we want pastor to do all the work. Instead of taking time out to prepare your body and say, Lord, prepare my vessel to receive the word. You can't be taught if you're not teachable. You cannot be taught if you're not teachable. Your prayer foundation should prepare your spirit to be receptive to the word. Talked to Sister Mitchell yesterday. She said that even with great men of God, men and women of God, you have to learn how to take what you can take and leave what don't work. But the only way you can take what you need to take and leave what don't work, you got to have a discerning spirit. And the only way to develop a discerning spirit is to have a consistent prayer. Consistent prayer life, right? Right. So we understand here that Paul is saying that he has a desire for the people. And that desire for the people is to be connected to him, to Christ. In order to be connected to Christ, you got to know him. You got to know him, right? But I'm going to tell you four things about this prayer, and then I'm going to leave it alone. Four things about this prayer, and I'm going to leave it alone for the day. If I'm teaching pretty decent. The first thing that we need to know about this prayer in verse 14 and 15 is that this prayer was for a specific cause. This prayer was for a specific purpose. I think in your translation it says for this cause. Yeah, for this cause refers back to the eternal plan of God. And the life of a Christian believer was discussed in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and 13. Write that down so you can go back and read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 and 13. Paul is referring back to the great salvation and birth of the church, what God had wrought through Christ. No greater thing has ever been wrought upon earth than what God has done through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we have been blessed. Amen? First thing we've been blessed with is we've been blessed with salvation. For by grace, ye are saved. You need to know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. Don't leave this place today unsure of your salvation. Don't leave this place today unsure of your connection. I got you, Deacon Kelly. Don't leave unsure of your relationship with Jesus Christ. So we understand that Jesus gave us salvation. But then Jesus gave us a family. He gave us a family that's called the church. He gave us a family that's called the church because even though we might have different mamas and daddies physically, we're connected to the same Father spiritually. And because we're connected to the same Father spiritually through the adoption of grace, we have the ability to declare that when we come together as one family, we ought to have one mind. How can we think different thoughts and still go the same place? Because in the spirit, we are connected with one mind. One mind and one purpose. And that purpose is to make it to heaven. If you're in this building and you say you are part of a church and your desire is not to go to heaven, you're in the wrong place. Amen? So we understand that it's important that we come and we do the Lord's work for a specific purpose. Paul said, for this cause. The mission of the church is to save. Seek and save that which is lost. If you are a Christian and you have not reached one person, you ain't doing your job. If you are a Christian and you have not shared the word of God with at least one person, you ain't doing your job. If you are a Christian and they can't see Jesus in you, amen. You're not doing your job. But this prayer that Paul was praying was important. Let me give you one more. This prayer was so important that it drove Paul to his knees. This prayer was so important that it drove Paul to his knees. That's why he says, for this reason, for this cause, I bow to my knees, right? I bow to my knees. It was so important that he bowed to his knees. Watch this, teacher. Bowing. Bowing to God or bowing is a sign of a desperate need. Bowing to God is a desperate need or is a sign of dependency. You might not always be able to bow down on your knees, but you ought to be able to bow down in your spirit. You are, because it shows that you are in desperate need or you're dependent for God. Show that a person is utterly dependent upon God. We live, move, and have our being by him. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our words before we even say them. So we should be committed and dependent upon God. Bowing shows that we have reverence and respect for him. Bowing shows that we have reverence and respect for God. Man, if you don't bow down and respect nobody else, you ought to respect the person that gave you life. You ought to respect the person that gave you life. Last thing about bowing, bowing means that you are humble. We got too many prideful people. I got to say that because that's one of the areas that I deal with. We have too many prideful people that don't want to humble themselves to God. But the word says it this way. It says, if you humble yourselves in the very presence of God, in due time you shall be exalted. You shouldn't have to lift yourself. Let the Lord lift you. Yeah. So we understand that this prayer that we're going to deal with for these next couple Sundays, it puts us in a position to where we understand that God is in control. All right? God is in control and that we have to bow down in reverence and respect and we have to humble ourselves before God. And then we understand that we have to know who we're praying to. A lot of us pray in vain. We pray amiss because we're praying just to be praying. And we don't understand that we should be praying and know who we're praying to. We need to know if we need healing that we're praying to our healer. And we need to know that we need deliverance that we're praying to our deliverance. We need to know if we need a provider that we're praying to our provider. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is our all in all. And when you talk to him, you ought to talk to him with boldness and confidence that the Lord is going to come through. Amen. And God had a purpose when he gave us Jesus. And I'm going to leave it right here. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So because I believe in him.
Thank you for tuning into the Work in the Word broadcast of the St. Paul Baptist Church and the L.A. Delaney Jr. Ministries. Join us for worship on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesdays for our Working in the Word Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For more information about St. Paul, Pastor Delaney, our weekly services, or for prayer requests, to purchase CDs or other media, or to sow seeds of love, log into our website at www.stpaulgonzalez.com. St. Paul's located at 10438 Boudreaux Road, Gonzales, Louisiana, 70737. God bless.
Why don't you come to...